So, ladies in the room, I want you to imagine that you're single and that a guy takes you out on a date and he takes you out, he picks you up in his car, drives you out to some sort of burger place. You get burgers and fries and hang out, and then, like, that's the end of the date. Are you just, like, swept off your heels, you know, just, like, in love with this guy? Possibly not. But what if I told you some more details about this person? So what if this guy is taking you out regularly, he's taking you out every Friday night, and in order to afford, because of his budget, in order to afford gas for his car and to be able to buy you dinner, the guy is having to eat rice and beans every other meal all six and a half days, right? Maybe you're thinking, like, I don't want anything to do with this guy. Like, he's too poor or something, you know. But it puts a different significance on that hamburger if the guy has sacrificed every other meal to be able to be there, right? Puts a different spin on it. So I had a teacher probably 10 or 12 years ago, but I don't know if it was rice and beans. I can't remember the details super well. I know it was rice. I'm pretty sure it was rice and something else. And that was how he and his wife, while he was in school, he would take on our date every week, and he wouldn't drive his car the rest of the week, and he wouldn't buy anything except for rice and something else. It might have been rice and beans. I can't remember for sure. And that was so he could show up with a little bit of cash in his pocket and be able to take her out on a date every Friday. And obviously it worked out for him, and that, like, they got married eventually and things worked out. And I think, you know, along the way he did just fine financially and stuff. But the love comes through in that meal because of the sacrifice that is involved for that guy, right? Because he's sacrificing, if you think three meals a day, because he's sacrificing 20 of his meals to make that one meal special, it carries a whole different weight, right? And so that's a lot of times if we're trying to figure out who do we love or what do we love, you just have to look at, like, what do you sacrifice for? And we respond to other people when we see them sacrificing for us, right? We know they care about us. And the passage of scripture that we're going to be in today, it's in John 15. It comes in the same setting. Jesus, it says in John 13 that he loved his disciples and he wanted to show them the full extent of his love. And so he does this act of service that was very common in their time. People would have to have their feet washed. And Jesus, very humbly as their leader, he washes everybody else's feet. So that's John 13. That's setting the stage for this conversation. And then hours after this conversation, Jesus is going to be arrested and beaten and put on the cross. So that all this conversation that we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks is the conversation that he has right before he gives his life for these folks and for us, okay? So it puts a different spin on what we're going to be reading today because you know all the sacrifice that Jesus went through. But this is his final conversation with his disciples before being arrested, okay? So these are the things he really wanted to get across to them. And the very first verse we're going to read, you could say, I'm going to just do this one thing right. And I actually think you'd be pretty well off in your life. This one verse, I think, has enough for you to live off of with Jesus. Okay, so John 15:5 is where we're going to start. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So he uses this imagery of a grapevine. And he's saying, I'm the trunk or I'm the root. And if you stay connected to me, to the vine, then you're going to bear fruit. But what does he promise you if you're not connected with him? You can do nothing. I can read Eric Gosse's lips as he says it, right? It's right here. So we have one responsibility in order to get this promise. The one responsibility is we have to remain in Jesus. Some of you, if you've been coming to church for a while, you might even have this verse memorized. This is a pretty famous verse. What I want you to do, though, today is check yourself. Top left here, picture of flowers that were probably pretty a week or two ago, but now they're withered and dead, right? Because they got cut off of the vine or off the branch. In the bottom right, you have this plant that is connected and is just bursting with grapes, right? With fruit. So check your own condition right now. Be honest with yourself. Which of these two are you closer to right now? Do you feel dry and withered, and like you just can't keep it going for much longer? Or do you feel like there's an abundance of goodness just naturally coming out of you? Which one? Because the passage here says these are the two roads for us. And the thing that we're responsible for is remaining in Jesus. And if we remain in Jesus, Jesus promises we will be like that bottom right picture. And he also promises if we don't, that we'll be like the top left. So if you're feeling more like the top left, a question I would have for you today is, do you trust Jesus? Like, are you living your life and trying to become fruitful in all sorts of different ways? Or do you trust that I got one thing to get right? If I get my connection with Jesus right, then I trust him to take care of the outcomes of what's going to happen. So let's keep reading. We are going to skip a few verses here. All of John 15 is great. If you want something to read later today, please read John 15. But we're going to skip down to verse 9. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Two sentences there. The first sentence, because this is a gigantic statement, so we know that Jesus has been with God through all eternity. There's never been a time where they've not been together. Jesus and God, they've never let each other down. They've never said something stupid and had to apologize. They never said they were going to be there for the other one and then not been there. I mean, think about the love that's between them, the total trust, the total vulnerability, the total understanding, the total appreciation. And Jesus says, when it comes to me and you, I'm going to take care of my side of the fence to where I'm going to love you like God loves me. The same sort of love that God gives to Jesus himself, Jesus says, I'm going to give that to you. I mean, no one else can offer that. No one else in the universe has that sort of love to give. So Jesus is offering us this gigantic thing. And what does he tell us? He says, now remain in my love. There's an important truth there, is that Jesus has already done all the action steps he could do to open the door to a relationship with you. He did all the hurdles that you couldn't do. But this verse shows us there's a piece of the puzzle that you have to do. Okay, if we think, this is a really simple drawing, in or out. Jesus says, I've made this place for you. I've got this loving relationship, this connection that I want, this relationship that I want with you. But you have to remain in me. You have to choose to stay close to me. Think about your life right now, and are you living most of your life outside of that circle? Are you chasing after all this stuff that you find yourself like, well, I didn't really have time to read the Bible today, or I prayed a couple different times because I felt like I needed to, and I just kind of checked that box. Is Jesus just one more thing on your to-do list? Because if he is, then I think you're outside of that connection that he's talking about, where he says, the same way God and I are connected, I want to be connected like that with you. You have to choose to remain in him. How do you choose to remain in him? He says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So the things you do, the words you say, the actions you take, that's how you place yourself, either close to Jesus or far away from Jesus. Jesus loves you. But he's saying here, you got to stay close to me to experience that love. you don't stay close to me, you're outside of it. Not because he hates you, because you've removed yourself from his goodness. It's like, you guys have ever been fishing, and you have that moment where you're taking a fish off of the hook, and it slips out of your hand because it's all slimy, and it flops around on the grass. And that fish is just like, it's a fish out of water. I mean, that's where that phrase comes from. I mean, that's where we went. But it's flopping around. It can't breathe. It has that terrible, like look at, you know, and it just, you could, if you think about it, you're just like, that seems wretched, right? It's trying to breathe and it can't. It's out of where it's supposed to be, right? No matter how hard it tries in the grass, it's not going to work out for it, right? It can try to breathe harder, and a lot of us think, oh, if I get the right little life hack, if I just try a little harder, I can start breathing. I can handle all this. And what's really happened is the more you flop around, the more mess you're making, the more you're hurting yourself. You got to get into the water if you're the fish. For us, you got to be into Jesus, not just for one moment. Lori today, you know, when she got baptized, that is a huge step. Okay? But she's already talking to one of our small group leaders, and she's already plugging in because it's a journey, right? It's not, you don't just take a bite of Jesus and be good forever. It's this idea of like, I need to live off of him. I need him all the time. Like a fish needs water. That's how we need Jesus. A lot of us are not living our lives that way, and we're flopping around, right? Let's keep reading on. Verse 11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Jesus gives us commands for our joy. There's something in your life right now that God wants you to do, and you think like, I don't want to do it because it doesn't seem fun or seems too hard. That's just true. It's true about everybody in this room. There's something Jesus wants you to do, and you're like, ooh, I think I'll just avoid that for a little bit. Jesus told you to do it for your sake, not for his sake. And he's not trying to steal anything from you. He's trying to give something to you. Okay? But in case you're like, oh man, there's all these commands, which one do I do next? Jesus is going to make it even simpler for us, okay? Here it is. Simple to say at least. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So he boils it all down to this statement. But if you really pay attention to this statement, you'll see, well, how can Jesus boil all his commands down to this one statement? It's because remember how Jesus loves us? He already explained it. He loves us the same way God loves him. There's no selfishness in God's love for Jesus. There's a lot of generosity, right? There's no fear. None of us love anybody else the way that Jesus loves us. Like your own kids, your own spouse, you fall short of that. And Jesus is telling you, love everybody that way. If you start trying to do this, this is a nice thing about when you try to obey Jesus, is you grow, because trying to obey Jesus always leads you back to, I need more of Jesus. When you honestly try as hard as you can to be faithful to what Jesus has told you to do, you're going to fall short, and you're going to say, Jesus, I need more of your help. And you're going to learn about yourself that I'm not very good. Jake Taylor is slimy, terrible person, you know, like nobody is good. When you start trying to follow Jesus, you see, man, fall short. You fall short and you realize, I need more of Jesus. And that first verse we read starts to click of, just like a branch has to stay connected to the tree all the time, I got to stay connected to Jesus all the time if I'm going to love like he wants me to love. Keep reading on. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus doesn't just talk about this. Jesus goes out right after this conversation and prays a little bit, but I mean, within hours, he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Doesn't say you are my friends if you show up to the right church service. Doesn't say you are my friends if you check the right box or if you say the right words. It says you're my friends if you do what I command. If your life is about loving people the way that I love them, if your life is about having a relationship with me that dominates everything that you do. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. We don't even deserve to be God's servants, right? Just like the story of the prodigal son, like the guy's like, man, I hope my dad will take me back as a hired hand, right? It's like God has way better beings. You know, the angels are way better servants than we could hope to be. Like, we don't deserve to even be in that company. But Jesus says, I want to make you my friend. I want to share everything, all of my business. I want to open it up to you. I want you to be in my inner circle. Compare this attitude, the way Jesus is talking right here, to the way you approach your own time with God. If you spend time with God each day, is it just, well, I'm going to read for 5 minutes, I'm going to pray for 2 minutes, and then I'm going to go about my day? Because what Jesus is saying here is, I want to give you everything I've got. And we sang all these songs about Jesus, we trust you, and Jesus, you're good, and Jesus, you've done it all. And if we believe those things, then we should want to spend time with him. There should be times where we're lingering with God saying, I don't want to go anywhere else. I want to be with you. One more verse, then we're going to have a couple more points here. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. That final promise is something that comes up multiple times in this conversation. It comes up in John 16 as well. So we'll get to that promise next week by asking in Jesus' name. But for today, Jesus says, you didn't choose him. He chose you. He took the first step. He said he didn't just choose you so you could get over some problem or so you could be comfortable. He chose you with a purpose. His purpose is to bear fruit. What is fruit? Fruit is this goodness that God springs up in you that lasts, okay? It doesn't fall apart. You should be changing the people around you because of what Jesus is doing in you. So you guys know me, if you've been coming for a little while, I like to get real, real practical. So we're going to get practical in our last 5 minutes before the response time, okay? I'm going to jump ahead of that slide. So remember the rice and beans guy, the old teacher I had who ate rice and beans for 20 meals so he could afford to take his girlfriend out? He sacrificed because he loved her, right? For you today, one of these five areas, I bet at least one, maybe more, at least one, I bet you're greedy for. I bet you're greedy for it and that you feel like you don't have enough of it and you're not going to share with God or your friends or other people because you feel like I need more of that. So it might be time for you. It might be money. It might be power. It might be safety. It might be pleasure. So what would this look like? How would you learn this about yourself? Because if you've read through the Gospels, you know the story of the rich young ruler, and money was his thing, and it kept him from Jesus, right? When we read that story, a lot of us read that story and they're like, man, I'm glad I'm not that guy. I don't have to sell everything, you know? But I will tell you, to have a better relationship with Jesus this coming week, if you want that, I bet you could get it by sacrificing whatever has the biggest grip on your heart right now, by giving Jesus a chunk of that thing. So be honest with yourself. And if you're trying to be honest right now, you're trying to figure out which of these five really has a hold of my heart, let me give you a little tip here from my own life. I was struggling with this. And so here's the thing for me currently in the stage of life I'm in right now is I'm greedy for time. I feel like I don't have enough time. I rush around, try to make more time, right? Try to squeeze everything I can out of the time, right? So maybe for you, it's one of these other things where you're trying to squeeze everything you can out of it because you feel like you don't have enough. And what was, you know, if someone might call me up and say, one of my friends would call me and they really need some money, I think I could handle that, be generous with it. Somebody needed some sort of influence or power that I have, I think I could be really open-handed with that. Somebody needed help with something that was a little dangerous, I think to a certain extent I could do that. If somebody called me up and said, like, Jake, I really need you to eat this, like, terrible-tasting food for a few meals to help me out in some sort of way, like, I would be more likely to do that than to spend, like, oh, yep, 3 hours, like, I'm just going to give that to you. Like, right now, I would much rather eat the gross food or give them the money or whatever. Like, it's like, I don't have the time. Another thing that hit me home from a different angle, so that was the negative side. Different angle, I had trouble moving some furniture the other day, and Christy and I were trying to move it, and we couldn't pull it off by ourselves. And so I had to call a friend of mine, and he dropped what he was doing and came over and helped me move it. And I was super thankful. And one of the reasons I was super thankful for it, I realized you love me in a way that, like, I don't love you in, like, if I'm honest. I mean, like, that's terrible. Like, look, Jake, you're a jerk. Like, that's kind of the definition of a jerk, like, right there. Because I thought if this person or if anybody in this room had said, like, Jake, I really need help moving furniture in the next, like, 15 minutes, I don't think I'm the right guy. You know, like, and so I had to face that about myself, about, like, man, Jake, you are greedy about your time. Like, that's not a good thing. Like, that's not a healthy place to be in, right? How do you fix yourself when you have an issue like that? Well, issues of the heart or any issues that you have, the first thing to get right, and really the only thing to get right, is are you giving God enough of that? So if you're giving God enough of that, I think what that John 15 gets at is, like, Jesus will take care of your heart if you will just give it over to him. So contrary action is how you change, right? So what do? Well, if time is your thing, for me, instead of spending a short amount of time with God in the mornings, this week I spent a long amount of time with God. I gave God more time than I give anybody else as far as, like, the pace of it. It was relaxed, whereas most of the things I do are pretty, like, well, we got to do this and then move on. To have relaxed, to be, like, rich in time, in those that time with God, where it's like, oh, I have time to go for a walk with God, or to really sit and think a lot about this thing, or to really draw it out, is the best thing I did in a long time. How did that verse live out? To get real quick on it, is I spent time alone with God for a big chunk of time each day, or several days this week at least, and the whole day was different. I wound up having some crazy stuff happen where, like, it doesn't even matter. But just stuff that would have normally stressed me out, we don't have time to talk about it. Stuff that would have stressed me out, I felt like, well, God, we've already talked about it. And even though it's not going the way I planned, we already talked through all this, and, like, I still felt like God was with me throughout the rest of the day because I'd gotten right with him in the morning. And when I talked to people, I found myself saying way more often than I normally do, this is what I think God has told me about your situation, like, with a lot of authority, more than I normally do, because God had told me something to tell that person. It was way more fruitful of a conversation than they normally are. This reality of, like, wow, everything is bearing more fruit in my life when I'm doing this part of my life right. And for you today, during the response time, if you'd say, God, I've been trying to squeeze pleasure out of my life, and I've just been working and working so hard to be able to get this little bit of good or this little bit of fun, what if you'd say, like, God, I'm going to stop chasing that so hard, and I'm going to hand that over to you. I'm going to somehow make my relationship with you be the pleasurable spot of my week. When I get a chance to go have time to myself, I'm going to use it with you. Or the power that I have, I'm going to use it to help somebody else instead of using it to help me get more power. Whatever it is, whatever things got wrapped around your heart right now, could you say, Jesus, I want to hand this over to you, and I want to connect with you instead of chasing after this. So we have our small group leaders up front, our coaches, Derek and Sian are coming up front. The response time is for you to decide this last image, okay? Jesus is saying, my hand's open to you. I want to spend time with you. I want to give you the best relationship you will ever have. And if you get that right, that one thing, if you get your relationship with me right, your life will bear fruit. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your bold promises, and thank you that you have the power to be faithful to them. Jesus, we trust you with our best, because we know, God, that you can bear fruit through our lives. It's in your name we pray. Amen.